This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, November 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. A $6 billion trade war threat, a less gassy cheddar, Election Day 24 arrives, and Maha likes Massey for USDA. California would lose $6 billion in a China trade war. UC Davis agricultural economist Colin Carter warns if the U.S. expands tariffs on Chinese imports, retaliatory maneuvers would cost California's economy $6 billion annually. Agriculture would see a quarter of its exports wiped out, especially with pistachios, dairy, and wine. In a new white paper, Carter, a distinguished professor emeritus, punches up the numbers for various scenarios of potential U.S. actions and responses from China and how they would impact California's agricultural commodities. He finds many of the losses could be mitigated or avoided with smarter approaches to international trade. Despite new marketing efforts in other countries, however, he worries farmers remain heavily reliant on China, a vulnerability that could lead to significant losses under a trade war. He pointed out that California farmers lost billions during the 2018-19 retaliatory tariffs when they caused exports and prices to plummet. Farmers will remain globally competitive if policies prioritize market access and stability. California agriculture simply cannot afford another trade war, he wrote. Hilmar Cheese goes electric. The California Energy Commission set to approve an $8 million clean energy grant for the Hilmar Cheese Company. The company produces millions of pounds of cheese and whey protein, exporting products across the nation and to dozens of countries. Now it's swapping gas for electrons in its manufacturing process, slashing greenhouse gas emissions. It plans to electrify the heating step in the production process at its flagship facility through industrial heat pumps and to implement high-pressure reverse osmosis. The commission will give the green light to $20 million in building decarbonization grants in total at its hearing next week. Hub International acquires Western Growers Insurance Services. During the annual Western Growers Association meeting yesterday, they announced that insurance brokerage and financial services firm Hub International Limited has acquired Western Growers Insurance Services. WGIS has served over 2,300 agriculture industry members since its founding in 1986, providing risk mitigation and management solutions. The acquisition includes its current client base and employees. WGIS President Jeff Gullickson will continue his current position following the transition and will also become regional head of the agribusiness practice. Darren Caesar, CEO of Hub Central in Northern California, said in a release he's excited to absorb the depth of knowledge WGIS has in agriculture markets. In other WGA news, the Employee Benefits Division of Western Growers Assurance Trust announced a new association with Specialty Program Group, LLC, to help support brokers and their clients. WGAT is looking to innovate wholesale employee benefit offerings and will now market as Western Growers Assurance Trust Specialty. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. FDA and EPA announced first ever registration of foodborne pathogen ag water treatment. Federal agencies have approved a treatment for foodborne pathogens in agriculture water used to grow produce, which they say could be a landmark achievement in efforts to improve food safety. FDA and EPA announced the successful product registration yesterday. The treatment product follows FDA's new rule on agricultural water, and it's expected to specifically combat salmonella and E. coli. Previously, chemical treatments for pre-harvest agricultural water were limited to managing algae, biofilm formation, and produce rot. FDA and EPA recently developed new protocols to support this registration and others in the future specifically targeted at foodborne pathogens. White House and Congress at stake today. Well, it's finally here. We finally get election results starting tonight with control of the White House, Senate, and House all very much up in the air. But keep in mind, it could be days before we know which party controls the White House and the U.S. House, given the time that it will take to count votes. Election watching tip? Well, David Wasserman of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter believes we'll be able to get an early read on the election trends in a handful of counties in Georgia and North Carolina, including two in districts represented on the House Agriculture Committee. Those bellwether counties include Baldwin County in Georgia's 8th District, represented by Republican Austin Scott, and Nash County in North Carolina's 1st District, represented by Democrat Don Davis. Joe Biden carried both counties narrowly in 2020. If Donald Trump flips those counties, it could be a good sign for his prospects nationally. By the way, Wasserman cautions that even though the polls have been remarkably close, it doesn't mean the outcome will be razor thin. Gridlock ahead? Well, Larry Sabato's Crystal Ball crew released its election predictions yesterday. The forecast? Kamala Harris wins the White House, but Republicans take the Senate 52-48. Democrats win the House, but just barely. His forecast 218-217. Something to watch. An often overlooked but significant factor could be those overseas ballots. Nearly 3 million Americans live abroad, meaning that even a small percentage of those voters could make the difference in a particular state. Their votes also could delay the results of the election, and especially tight races or states coming from abroad, they often take longer to count. In 2020, about 135,000 overseas voters cast ballots. As for the polls, ABC News 538 site puts it this way. Trump and Harris have about an even chance to win. In 100 of 538 simulations, Trump wins 52 times and Harris 48. In the Senate, Montana Democrat John Tester, an organic grain farmer, is facing tough odds in a race against Republican former Navy SEAL and Bridger Aerospace CEO Tim Sheehy, who also operates cattle ranch. The race has been rated lean Republican. The Senate races in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, in the meantime, are all rated toss-ups. Incumbent Nebraska Republican Senator Deb Fischer is facing a tighter-than-expected matchup with Dan Osborne, an independent who has run a campaign focused on right to repair agricultural equipment and refocusing crop insurance subsidies to smaller farms. In the House, 1 in 4 members of the House Ag Committee members facing a competitive race today, according to the Cook Political Report findings. 18 of the 54 panel members' re-election races are considered competitive. This includes 3 of the 4 Democrats who voted in to advance the farm bill out of the committee earlier this year. What we're watching? Well, AgriPulse is keeping an eye on some of the races, still likely to favor the incumbent, but races in key California and Iowa districts are still toss-ups. The outcome of those races could determine which party controls the House majority, but major shakeups could alter the House committee roster. You can read more about those competitive districts at AgriPulse.com. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, November 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.